Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Do you ever doubt the season you're in, or do you fear that you will never or ever be worthy of the next season? Do you beat yourself up so bad that you aren't even sure that you know how to speak life to yourself or even like who you are? If you've answered yes to any of these things, I'm so excited to introduce you to my new friend, Elaine Turner. Today, Elaine and I are talking about all of this. Elaine is a coach who helps us find our worth and teaches us how it impacts our relationships with ourselves and our relationships with others, and how we can learn to change, pivot, and grow from all of this. One of my favorite things that Elaine said was that the guilt never served her. What if we dropped the guilt and the dislike and actually owned who God created us to be? What if we chased those dreams that we sat down long ago? And what if we actually started practicing saying kind things to ourselves? Like, what if? I cannot wait for you to meet Elaine and hear all of the truth that she's going to share with us and how it will help us each grow stronger in the coming year. So friends, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down with a new friend, Elaine Turner, and I am so excited for you guys to meet her. She has accomplished so much and she's going to just help us kind of like step into that empowerment that we all need, especially this time of year. I think it's just going to be a really sweet conversation and I think we're all going to be better for it. So Elaine, hey, how are you?
So glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I am excited to talk to you. You have such a rich story already. We kind of like just touched on it and I'm like, don't say anything more because I want to like hear all about it. So wait. But first, what's in your cup? Are you drinking anything?
Yes, I have. Well, you're going to laugh, but since it's midday, I put Diet Coke in here.
I am going to laugh. You're right. That's good.
I was like, because I had a big day today. I've been doing a lot of stuff. And I thought, you know, I just need like a jolt.
Well, you're my third interview of the day. So I'm like already like, yeah. Do you know when you do something that this sounds very like conceited, and by all means, I don't mean that. But you know when you're like really good at something and you finish and you're like, yes.
Yes.
Well, that's how I feel after interviews. And so now I'm like bubbled up two up and I'm like, what's up, Elaine?
Yes. Yeah.
So you're getting like all of that.
What's happening right now?
On top of like three cups of coffee. So I'm like really going. I'm not gonna sleep
tonight. I love it.
So you're getting a really special Jeanette is what I'm telling you. I apologize for that. Do you drink coffee? Like when you're out and about,
what's
your coffee order?
I drink. If I am ordering like at a restaurant, I'm kind of a cafe latte with skim milk kind of girl.
I like it.
And then here at home, I'm just like Keurig.
Yeah. I like that. Sometimes it's just like the fastest way to get coffee to
In the stream. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like that. Okay, Elaine, can you tell us who you are and what you do? And you like just like casually mentioned you used to have like a fashion line. So I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, so I'm Elaine Turner and I had a fashion brand, my namesake, Elaine Turner Designs, for 20 years. It was mainly a Texas focused brand, just being honest. We had 12 stores and I manufactured, designed, and created all the products in the store. So we had clothing, jewelry, shoes, handbags is what we started with. And we were just sort of this very accessible, lifestyle driven brand, accessible price points, very much all about kind of effortless glamour and enhancing women's style. Like I didn't ever want to like take away a woman's inherent style, but I wanted to enhance who she already is to make her almost feel like, oh, this is who I could become with your products. And so our mission throughout the whole brand was to make women feel beautiful inside and out.
So. I love that. What is it like to stop something like that? 20 years in the making, I'm sure like from the ground up, what is it like to stop and then change?
Well, you know, it's been a huge journey. And basically what happened was, I mean, now this is probably 4 or 5 years ago now, but we closed our last store 2 years ago. And what happened was the retail environment, we were very retail focused, just being completely honest. We had digital and we had a website that was healthy, but it wasn't what the revenue was in our retail stores. And so my husband owned it with me and we were on this journey, and for many years it was wonderful and we loved it. But to be just totally vulnerable and transparent, the past 5 years, it got hard because the retail traffic in the stores was really shifting and changing, and women were really going online and they were looking for ease and convenience, and they weren't looking for, you know, to park, and really, they weren't really looking for that fashion experience like they used to. When I was young growing up, you know, fashion was kind of, you know, you went, you spent hours at the store and you had someone help you. They're really, the whole consumer behaviorally shifted towards, you know, ease and convenience with fashion, but also shifted even her disposable income. Like, she was spending money on experiences and technology and travel and even spa and stuff like that. You know, clothing kind of started to get a little bit lower on her list, especially with the advent of like sustainable fashion and everything becoming, you know, all of that becoming so big. So my husband and I really did everything we could to pivot and try to kind of like respond to this new customer. But I have a special needs daughter named Marley, who's 16. I have a 20-year-old son. And I just got to a point, just being completely honest with you, that I just felt like my lifestyle had gotten to a place I couldn't sustain it. I was feeling so much stress. And it was almost like the last straw that kind of broke the camel's back, or whatever that metaphor is. But I just felt like, you know, I can't be the person that I want to be in this anymore. And I was just, it was like I was living outside of myself. I was reacting to all the challenges in my life, and I wasn't taking good care of myself. And my daughter, I think, needed me. She's in those tween years at the time. So my husband just kind of looked at me and said, you know, maybe it's just time that we look at our lives differently and we look at our careers differently. And this has been an incredible dream, but maybe it's not what God has planned for us forever. And that is really, really hard because it was a huge part of my identity, and there was a huge grief around it. But there was also an inner knowing, I don't know how to even explain it to you, where I knew that I couldn't do it anymore. And so I've been on a new journey of kind of using my experiences, my challenges, to empower and inspire women to know that they're worth, their inherent worthiness is never dependent on anything outside of them. So no matter what happens in their life circumstances, no matter what happens with their careers or their money or their weight or a child with differences, that their worth has been there from the very beginning, and it can't be given to you and it can't be taken away from you.
Yeah, man, I'm like already like, okay. Bring it back down. I don't know if you said you kind of like did your research on me a little bit. I don't know if you saw that we have a daughter who's adopted from Africa and she is deaf. And so we walk that line. Oh, hello, emotions. We walk that line of like, our identity is not in her deafness. Her identity is not in her deafness. Her worth is in our, like, we are worthy as a family. All of that, like, beautiful, like, we try so hard, you know, but at times I'm like, oh, we're just Zoe's mom and dad over here. But I think that there's this really hard line of motherhood, special needs motherhood, and then dreaming, but then also like, well, and then if you just like, like do all of motherhood, like there's this whole other realm of like, are we even allowed to dream? Are we allowed to seek our worth outside of our identity of mom? Mm-hmm. And I know that so Jesse and I got married when I was 18 and we had children really, really quickly, like at 20, I was already a mom. So when all my friends are going through these like different identity markers, I settled right into wife and mom. Well, that really, and not because of my husband or my son, but that really stripped my identity really quickly because I was so young that I was like, well, this is just all I'll ever be, which is a great dream, which is a great goal to be a mom.
Right.
But I settled into that for probably 10 plus years of like, this is just who I am. And it wasn't until learning to dream that I learned to like find identity and worth outside of those things. So I'd love to know, when we change our identity, how can we shift that worthiness as well?
Well, I think, first of all, I think our identity shifts so many times, as you mentioned, so many times throughout our lifetime. Some of those shifts are easier than others, you know, and feel more natural. And some are, we're more in resistance to.
Yeah.
My career shift was hard. I wasn't sure who I was without it, without being the fashion designer in Texas and, you know, all that. And I feel like that I did a lot of deep self-reflection during that time of realizing, and almost like my pain was a gateway for me to come into this awareness of that I wasn't Elaine Turner Designs. I'm not all of these earth labels. I'm not all these roles, titles, and things that other people have assigned to me. That I'm truly my true self and my inherent worth is who I am in God and who I am in truth and who I am in love. And that excavation process was, it's still going on. You know, it's a long journey, but it's, I really look at it as a practice of waking up every day and knowing, regardless of the feedback I get or other people's opinions or if my daughter's having a good or bad day, that I know that I am sourced from a place of abundance and not a place of lack. And so if you approach your life that way, you can, everything in your whole lens shifts towards, well, if I know that I'm sourced from a place of abundance, then I'm free to fall, I'm free to fail, I'm free to stumble, knowing I'm essentially good and can rise again to be all that God made me to be. You know, I don't have to fall into this idea of lack and scarcity. And so I think that all these different transitions, speaking to what you're talking about, if you're turning into a college student, you're turning into a married person, you're changing careers, you know, 2020 has been a cultural collective shift, you know, because we have personal shifts and we have collective shifts. And 2020 has collectively shifted us all to live. I think there's always grief involved.
Yep.
And I think that it's all about cultivating and nourishing, remembering to cultivate and nourish that relationship with yourself, that you are not all of these things outside of you. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that they aren't, it doesn't mean you shouldn't dream and have the great podcast and have the book and have the course for women, but that it's almost comes from a different place. It's not so outcome-based and it's not tied to somebody else. It's not tied to some expectation. It's tied to almost you trusting that source, that place of abundance, your intuition, you know, and knowing that this is my offering, you know, and also honoring this is a phase. I mean, who knows, in 10 years, I might move into a grandmother phase. I don't know, you know, move into something else. But that I think that it's so much about us giving ourselves grace. I think that we're all so hard on ourselves and we live in an achievement culture. Everything's based on what's outside of us.
And I think everything's based on what's outside of us. And I think those forever dreams, like if we're like, this is something I'm going to chase forever, like until forever. And it's something my husband and I were just talking about recently where I said, you know, if God told me to lay the podcast down right now, I'd be really sad.
Yeah.
But I think I'm finally at a spot where I would say, if you want me to lay this down, then I really trust it's for something better.
Yeah.
Like we started, I'm like, this is the best part of my job. I love this. So I would be devastated.
Totally.
But I also know that I trust God so much that the next season would be richer. And so that doesn't mean, like you said, there's not grief involved. That doesn't mean that there's not like deep sorrow there, but it also means like, maybe I need to switch my mindset more on forever dreams. Like, maybe forever dreams don't, I don't want to say they don't exist. Tell me what your thoughts on that. I don't say forever dreams don't exist, but I want to say like, what if we were a little bit more open-handed with the timeline of our dreams?
Yeah. And also not so attached to what that dream has to look like for you. I think I was so attached to, I'm the designer, right? Yeah. I'm fashion. That's what I was always told. So then that's what I am. But really now that I've opened up and I've started to use my story and be so transparent and vulnerable and share who I am, I've kind of realized like, yeah, that was one aspect of me, but I almost feel more now built into my calling and my offering than I ever did as a fashion designer, that now I'm answering questions and helping women and sharing our wounds together that is so much more profound for me, that I think maybe God had set me up to go through, like he wanted me to use fashion, but then he all along knew it needed to go this way. I think it's not even so much that I think that you can dream forever dreams, but not be attached to necessarily what they have to look like.
Yeah.
Like your dream right now, this podcast, but it could, who knows, transfer into a digital YouTube show, or it could transfer into an authorship. I don't know,
Not
being so attached to what it looks like.
Yeah. I love that. So tell us now, you are all about helping women reclaim our worth.
Yeah. Reclaim and build. Yeah.
Reclaim and build your worth. So what does that look like? How do you do that?
I know. It's like step one.
I'm like, what does that look like?
Elaine, that's an ambitious goal. No, I'm joking. So I don't believe that that there's a step-by-step guide to self-worth. I don't want you to think that that's what my program's about. I don't believe in that. Three steps to, loving yourself. Yeah. Ultimately what this program is about is really about a beginning. It's really giving a woman a place to start. And I'm using my insight and the tools that I've used throughout my life, especially over the past 4 or 5 years, to how women can engage into building a deeper, more nourishing relationship with themselves. And then ultimately how that impacts their interpersonal relationships and their offering and their purpose with others. So it's really about, I have broken it down into a 3-part series. It's a digital online education platform. Once Corona starts to get hopefully better, fingers crossed, I'll do in-person workshops as well. But it's ultimately, there's 3 kind of big steps. There's Discover, which is my first course that's available now, but I'm going to relaunch it in 2021 too, which is all about discovering how we take in and filter our thoughts, emotions, feelings, and beliefs and our life circumstances and the narratives that we've built. I think it's really a self-awareness class. So it helps us understand our personal tendencies of how we have chosen to see the world and how that interrelates to our identity and our self, worth and how we view our self-esteem. And kind of starting to crack that a little bit, starting to say, look, your personal tendencies are this, but that doesn't mean that that's truth, that whatever you have assigned yourself to, meaning like, whatever that story is, I'm not enough, or I'm a burden, or I'm not valuable, whatever, that we start to kind of take a look at that and say, question that, those limiting beliefs that we tend to attach ourselves to as women. Then the second course is Awaken, which is all about excavating that limited story and then rewriting it. So debunking it and rewriting it, and then empowerment practices. And then the third course is all about manifestation. So it's all about your offering, and it's really about you getting out of your own way and then beginning to offer your gifts to the world, right? And to figure out what community you want to serve and really building custom habits and goals. Everything in the program is customized. So it's not huge groups, it's small groups, and we build, everybody's an individual. We all see the world differently. We've all had different experiences, different conditioning, all that. So the whole program is very customized, and it's really built for women who possibly work in leadership positions and manage teams like I did. So for long, my whole career, I managed teams of primarily women, women teams. And it's also, I think, great for women in transition, just like we were talking about. So you're kind of on it, just how you opened up so I think it's those 2 kind of key categories.
I think that's great. Cause I think that there's this, I think even like women leading our families, right? Like we're told all the time that we're like the thermostat of the house, my poor family is like, our thermostat goes up and down all the time.
Our AC doesn't work. She's on.
She's out all the time. So it's like, we're often told that, but I think that we're also told like, you are the leaders of your, and I mean, our husbands do a great job leading, I hope, but we also are the CEOs. We are the doers of our home. And so I think sometimes we don't give credit for leadership skills there. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of friends who homeschool, and I'm like, oh, you are doing so much more than I am.
Right.
But so like, how are we leading? And I think that we as women don't give ourselves credit and don't engage ourselves in leading our families in a super healthy way. Cause I think that we just think like, we're just supposed to know how to do it. Nobody gave me a manual on how to be a wife. Right. Nobody gave me a manual on how to raise 3 kids.
Right.
And I think that you're giving us a little bit of a manual on how to lead well. Right.
And I totally agree with you that I'm a huge believer, like we're all leaders, we're all influencers. So yep. I think all of that is kind of, we all are. And I think that you're right. I think that women have a tendency to negate or sort of push aside their inherent sort of gifts and their how valuable they are in their own spheres of influence. Yep. And family being a huge one, their neighborhood, community, whatever it looks like for you. You know, we all have a sphere of influence. And I think that, to be honest, a lot of that isn't women's fault. I think that our society preaches that that isn't as valuable.
Right.
I just really think that. And I think women are trained to believe in a Western culture that if you're not have a huge career and 3 kids and a podcast and make $100,000 a year that, well, then you must not be that valuable, when in essence, that's all hogwash.
Right. That
it, she absolutely, like you just mentioned, one of your best friends is homeschooling. It's like, hello. I mean, she, her sphere of influence and what she's the time and energy and attention and intention she's giving her children could end up being one of those children. Think about those children, what they're going to end up doing, how they're going to be influenced by that. So this program really is for, and when I use leadership, I mean it, customized, whatever that leadership looks like for you. The only thing I would say is that it's kind of geared towards women, obviously, right. The program. But other than that, it's not real. There aren't a lot of boundaries of who can join and who can benefit from this. So
I love that. We talked a lot about self-growth lately. What is like your go-to self-growth? Like, how do you continue to grow?
I think that, I mean, I have a huge toolbox because I've had to, and I don't want to be a downer, but I've had a lot of, you know, grief in my life with certain things that have been chronic too. Not so much like, oh, I had this bad phase. Like my daughter's condition is truly every day I have to build up that toolbox of like, how am I going to show up today for her? And how am I going to serve her in the best way possible? And for me, self-care and self-growth, you know, there's lots of different definitions of it, and people can look at it as the tools, you know, yoga and meditation. It could be looked at as taking time off and spa days or, well, but for me, the most essential aspect of self-care is, and it can be 5 to 10 minutes a day. It's just something I really strongly believe in, is I call it listening time, but is going within yourself, giving yourself time to listen and to cultivate and nourish a relationship with yourself. Because we are so strung out, like we're so grabbed on every aspect of ourselves. Like you gotta serve, and your neighbor needs you, and your daughter needs you, and your husband needs you, you know. And I get it, everybody need, you know, we all need each other. But if we don't have that 5 to 10 minutes of remembering our inherent worth, our inherent being outside of serving and people pleasing and meeting expectations, then I think that we get lost. And I really, so no matter how much spa day you do, if you're not cultivating and building that deep sense of self-awareness and self-worth, it could be journaling, it could be a brain dump, it could be 3 restorative yoga poses, it could be a formal meditation. It doesn't have to be a formal meditation. It could be, you know, something that is completely customized that you know works for you. You know, everybody's different, and there isn't one right way. There's no one size fits all model to self-care. But for me, it's giving myself that 10 minutes. And I do a lot of restorative yoga just because I need that deep sense of relaxation and healing. But for somebody else, it could be, you know, a walk around the block in nature and coming home and journaling about what they listened to within themselves, you know, or what came up, or trusting themselves. So I think that's mine. It's contemplative practices.
I love that so much. And I like was like nodding and like excited when you're talking, because I just was writing my it's November right now, early November. I was just writing my newsletter. And I said, like, we are either hunting for her. And I've said this on my Instagram. We're either hunting for her or we're looking for joy, searching for joy. And we have got to be searching for joy.
Like choice, right?
If anything else in 2020 has, so I was like, search for joy. Oh my God.
Yeah, do it.
And I said that one of the things that I've been trying to do is, one, I have teenagers and little, like 10-year-olds to teenagers, and there's always noise. I'm a podcaster, so I'm taking in a lot. I'm editing, I work with other shows. So I'm like constantly listening and constant, there's like constant input. And I was at my best friend's house the other day and I was like, there's so much sensory going on here.
Oh,
he's got five kids. It's crazy.
The technology too, right?
Technology, everything. There's so much input. And I was like, I'd be sensory overload if I were you. And so I was just thinking about that. And I was thinking more and more, I find myself like, I'll listen to a podcast when I'm in the shower or I'll listen to music. It's like, I need no sensory, nothing. Everything off. Like I need quiet. And I'm finding that I crave it more and more. And it's been a really sweet thing. And it's, so while you're saying that, I'm like, I just wrote that in my newsletter. Like put your phone away. Like no noise.
Listening. Yeah. And just
listening, walk the dogs, like have the dogs with you. That's fine. But like walk the dogs with no music on. Like, it really is a beautiful thing to like listen.
To jump through the computer screen, because I've never heard anyone say that, because everyone's filling their brain all the time. I walk around my neighborhood, three times a week. I don't listen to anything. I just sit there and I just allow myself to exist. I actually try to focus on like the sound of my shoes. the crunch or what I see, or, I mean, that is so valuable that you're sharing that with me, because we all just fill it up like, oh, I have 5 minutes. Well, then I'm going to go listen to something. Well, what if you don't?
Yeah.
And see what comes up.
Yeah. And I was talking to a friend too, and she has a new book coming out called Finding Quiet. And she was like, if you aren't able to sit with your thoughts, there's a problem.
There's a huge problem. I know. There's a study out. I don't know if you know Jay Shetty, but in his book, he talked about, that people would rather have electric shock than sit quietly with their thoughts for 15 minutes. That they did a study and they chose electric shock. And I'm like, that's what's wrong with our world. We figured it out.
I would take listening to my own thoughts now. You have to get used to it. Yes. For sure. It's a practice.
Yes.
And it's one of those things where I often think like, well, if I leave my phone at home, what if I need my phone? It's like, you'll be fine.
And don't you always feel that when you leave your phone and you have a major panic attack, and then 30 minutes later you're like, I love this.
Yes. It's so fun. Hunting for hurt comes so easily, especially when we're taking in so much, especially mm-hmm. when we never stop taking in. So it's just been that simple practice of like, I'm just gonna put my phone down.
Yes.
I'm just gonna put it down. It's crazy, mm-hmm. crazy thing. Crazy thing.
Call me crazy.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Denison Ministries. Denison Ministries is a movement creating 7 million culture-changing Christians who are committed to carrying out the truth of the gospel to their sphere of influence through a variety of ways. Which is why Denison Ministries is excited about sponsoring what God is up to on the It's Time for Coffee podcast. One of the cool ways Denison Ministry has helped Christians feel closer to God is through their First 15 devotional. First 15 is designed to help you spend the first 15 minutes of your day experiencing God through meaningful devotion, scripture, worship, and prayer. You can sign up and get the First 15 email devotional sent directly to your inbox at first15.org/subscribe, or start your day off with the First 15 devotional podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. What is something that you wish you would have known 3 to 5 years ago about caretaking and taking care of yourself? Because I know that you said that you're kind of in this middle stage of taking care of your parents and taking care of kids. And now you're also trying to like maintain self-care. So what is something you wish you would have known 3 to 5 years ago?
I mean, put it simply that it's not selfish to take care of yourself. I think there's a misnomer that women more than men have a tendency to feel guilty about self-care or about taking time because they're so busy serving. You know, many of us are the nurturers. We're like the heart space of the house. We're even our communities at work, you know, women are kind of the ones who are like intuiting and figuring out how to make people happy. And so I would say that. I would say that all the guilt never served me. And I'm a big people pleaser, and it's something I'm recovering from. And I'm just being honest with you. And I'm the baby of the family. So I was always kind of the one that was like trying to provide joy and be the light one in the family and please. But I think that it to be honest, now that I'm aware of it, I've sort of realized that it's kind of a recovery process to be that way, to act like you have to be serving and be this great thing all the time. So that would be my number one, is guilt. And then also self-care, like I mentioned, it doesn't have to be kind of that frivolous thing that we think about, like get your nails done. I mean, self-care is really about cultivating a relationship with yourself. That's really what self-care is about. And for me.
Yeah,
and
no, so, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So
I think that I wonder if that self-care kind of, that like early onset of like self-care, take care of you, like treat yourself. I think it started as like this moment of like take care, like go out and take care of you, like kind of like leave your family and go spend money kind of thing. And now we're realizing it doesn't have to be that way. I'm not like, I love a good massage, but I'm not a spa person. Yeah. The best thing for me, and this sounds like just like super, super snooty, but we have a pool in our backyard.
Yeah.
And my favorite self-care thing to do is like go sit and lounge in the pool reading a book. Like that is, yes, self-care to me. That's a spa thing to do, but it's,
oh,
it's just nice.
The water, too, that water, right?
And nobody just can get to me.
Chills out. Yeah, everybody chills out in the water.
Man, I just really love that you are so intentional about women taking care of themselves and having a relationship with themselves. And I think it's something that's foreign. I think like to love ourselves seems like braggadocious or like very like self-centered. And it's something that I've had to, Jesse actually just asked me, well, what's one of your favorite things about yourself? I was like, that's a weird question to ask me. But he's like, no, I like, am like literally asking you, like, what do you like about yourself? Cause sometimes we beat ourselves up so bad that we don't even know what we like about ourselves. And so how do you want women to cultivate this relationship by actually like liking themselves without even loving themselves, but like liking themselves first.
Because with that, if you start to like yourself more, then you don't have that fear of going within and listening, mm-hmm, because you're like, you know, so really the foundation of my program is built on self-compassion, and self-compassion is actually a practice. It's, we are so trained to be hard on ourselves. And it's cultural, it's individual, it's all those things, right? And I think that if you can build in self-compassion practices into your life, it slowly but surely, I'm being serious, it changes your brain. Neuroplasticity, it starts to, where instead of coming at it immediately from, oh, I'm such a dummy, or oh, I totally screwed that up, you start to slowly go, yeah, I didn't make it to that appointment. And then I always say, just grace. I give myself grace. Like, I know I'm a good person regardless. And it's just that immediate switch of, that doesn't mean I'm not a good person. That doesn't mean that I'm a dummy. That doesn't mean that I'm untalented. You know, it just, you have to start to look at yourself through new eyes, but it doesn't happen overnight. I actually have studied self-compassion. This computer is on a self-compassion workbook. I was gonna show you.
Yeah.
One of the biggest researchers is Kristen Neff, and she gives tons of practices that you can just build in your daily life. That, you know, you could put one on your mirror where you kind of tell yourself certain things, or it could be a journal practice. But it's all about shifting that perspective from a place of lack to a place of abundance and giving yourself grace. Because really, honestly, there's no other way to be. Life is already hard. You know, we know that. Like, look at this week. I mean, the world is not easy. It's not easy being human. I mean, people don't talk about that enough. It's hard being human. And I think that there's a reason. I think that we're supposed to learn and go through these challenges and these struggles to become more of who God put us to be. Like, we're supposed to build that arsenal, right? To have the fullness of who we are. And we're so compartmentalized in our world. Like, we don't want to really engage and embrace the fullness of all of it, the grief, the trauma, but the joy and the, it's all there to be had. It's not just one thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that we just have to remember that we're worthy and that we're whole and that we're good no matter what. And that if you're mean to yourself, you're just creating another rabbit hole off of already it's hard. So you're creating this whole other thing that takes so much energy. But you know what? Grace and compassion to the people, and it's taken me years, but that are inherently really hard on themselves because they don't know any other way to be.
Yeah. So. And it's hard. It's sad. And it's one of those things where I always say, you wouldn't treat your best friend that way. You would never talk to your kid the way you talk to yourself. Like, why? And I mean, my husband's like, stop. Why did you say you're stupid? I'm like, oh, did I? I didn't even realize I muttered that to myself.
I do that
like, too. Yikes. Like, oh man. Like, oh, okay. And so I was like, be careful with your words. Like mm-hmm. I'm a big believer about like our words matter. Our inner words matter. They really, really do.
It's so true. And you know, if you do find yourself, I found myself the other day talking about, which I'm still reeling over, but I was talking about my weight to my husband mm-hmm. and my daughter was in the room. And I thought, and I just remember thinking, what am I doing? But then instead of just rejecting it, and I'm just throwing this out at you, you can come back at me, but I kind of decided to explore it because I thought, you know, what is that all about? And why am I putting that energy out there that I'm overweight right now or that I don't feel good enough, instead of realizing like I'm a human being going through a pandemic, doing the very best I can and giving myself that inherent grace that we've been talking about. And I kind of journaled about it, like, let's explore this. Where does this come from? And you know, a lot of it comes back to just programming and always feeling like I have to be this person, like productive and look good. And that's how I've been trained. And I keep saying it's not all my fault. It's not our fault. I think we need to release the blame and allow ourselves, like, even if you called yourself stupid, maybe allow yourself to explore it and then give yourself grace all around it.
Mm-hmm. My husband and I were just talking about that last night about, we just finished a 3-day juice cleanse. First time ever. I'll do it again. Like, I liked it, but it was interesting. Like, it was a learning curve.
Yeah.
But I said, I was like, man, I'm really proud of us. We did a good job. And he's like, we did. Cause last night I said, if you tell me we're going for dinner, I will go to dinner. I was hungry. I was ready to eat. And so we were talking about it. And I said, there's this struggle that we face where we are very, when we moved to Texas, we were in a CrossFit gym and we did macros and we were fit and we were all these things. And it like was consuming. And it was an idol for sure. It was an idol in our lives. And then our life changed drastically. And so it became less of an idol. It became less of a worry. It became less of a, like, I have to do this. And then it was dethroned. When you work out that much consistently, you can eat a certain way and it's fine. Well, when you stop working out that much, you have to change. And we did not. We did not do a good job.
And then things changed.
Yeah. So we continued to eat and stopped working out. So we were like this, we were just talking, I'm like, you know, we do need some discipline here. Like there is a call for discipline, but discipline doesn't have to be 150% or you're garbage. We were talking about that. Like, I will never be a juice person who does this all the time. I like food. I was eating when we got on this call, I'm like shoveling food in my mouth.
Right.
I enjoy food. But that means we can make wise decisions and love ourselves enough to make those decisions without being so hard on ourselves that there's like this hard line of like, do this or you're worthless, or do this or there's shame. Exactly. And I feel like that's where I want to like hug our friends and say like, chill. Man, you are worthy. You are so, so worthy. Exactly where you are, exactly where God created you to be. Is there room for growth? Absolutely, friend. There's so much room for growth. And there's room for more love in your life. So do it, like do the work and like speak kindly to yourself and sit alone and really enjoy you. Because guess what? You're the only you. You're the only you. You're the only you you're ever going to get. Mm-hmm. And why waste time hating on this body of yours or hating on this personality of yours or hating on the things that you've walked through in the past when you could instead say like, okay, God, use me. Yeah. Use me. I'm going to love the you created, the me you chose me to be, the circumstances you put me in, and I'm going to own exactly where I am.
You could come on my program. I'd love to patch you in. I'm like, she, like what she said, y'all. No, but when you were talking about working out, I started yoga about 8 to 10 years ago, just going through some really hard times with my daughter. And everyone said, oh, it's a great healing practice. You know, you should, it really keeps you in the moment. Well, I start out just how I'd been conditioned. I showed up at the studio like, I'm going to rock yoga, yeah. You know? And I was like overdoing it and like, you know, I'm going to, you know, anyway, you don't even want to hear it. Well, like 3 years in, I had this one instructor who I was going to her class every week and she changed my whole life. And she walked up to me at the end of one of the classes and she said, you know, you're really strong. It seems like your yoga practice is really improving, but I sense that you're here to prove it to yourself that you could be good at yoga. And I was like, I was just stunned. And she goes, you know, that has nothing to do with yoga, that you're already good enough being here and that you need to use this practice and trust yourself and how it can really work to help you, not, you know, not showing that you're good or you're flexible. And she's like, it's all about using yoga as a tool that you can trust your own body and trust what you need. If you need a slow flow practice, if you need a restorative pose, if you need to stop, that's what yoga is about. It's meeting you right where you are. And I go, oh, I've been doing it wrong.
I've been doing competitive yoga. I really enjoy competitive yoga. Excuse me. I can hold this pose longer than you.
And I mean, Jeanette, my whole life just was like, came home like, well, I mean, and it changed me. And yeah. Now I'm going to cry, but now I do it. And I do it in a way that like is so different. I don't go to any studios anymore. I do 20 minutes at home. I do yoga with Adrienne. She's in Austin. And it's simple. And it's all about how I make it my own and I customize it. And sometimes I don't even do it. And I just lay there in the fetal position. It all works.
I love that. And it is the same. And there's been a lot of breaking down of like the CrossFit mentality because I do Peloton now and I love Peloton.
Yeah.
But it's also like, well, it's a 20-minute ride. Working out? Yes, it's working out. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I questioned myself in that. But I'm like, oh, I didn't hurt myself. Am I okay?
We were built this way, aren't we?
It's so funny. Well, we could just go on and on. I really love this. This has been so much. But the last question I ask everybody is, we know that there's a time for everything under the sun. What is it time for in your life right now?
Well, okay. I'm going through an identity shift right now with starting to take more care of my parents. So I'm sandwiched between being the mother and then, so I am, it's time for me to step up and give them everything that they've given me and be of service to them in that way, which is new for me because I've always done that for me. And then it's also a time for me to own more of being a teacher, if you will, like truly offering and inspiring and not feeling insecure about what I know and feeling confident that I can instill in other women these tools and these practices and these ideas that could ultimately shape them and shape who they become and how they feel about themselves. So I think being a teacher and being a new caretaker to my mom and dad too.
That's beautiful. I just have to say, I love that you continually say practice because I feel like in the world we live in, whether it's self-help mantras or everything, it's like, do it now, do it right, or it's garbage, or you lied to yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shoot, crap. But if we say practicing, if we're practicing these things, then that allows us grace. Mm-hmm. If we're practicing, it allows us peace. Mm-hmm. If one of the things that I'm trying to like really flesh out right now is we're trained. My generation for sure is trained to be an expert in everything. Like if you're leaning into it, you're an expert now. Teach it. And I'm like, oh God, like I'm not the person that's like one to be like, I'm an expert in this. I've been podcasting for 2 years. I am not an expert podcaster. Yeah. I love what I do, but I'm not an expert. Right. And I was just with a sweet friend of mine who's a travel agent. She runs, I mean, she's been a travel agent for years. She's a phenomenal travel agent. And she was like, I don't know, I'm just a rookie. And it just like spoke, like it was one of those moments where I'm like, no, you're not a rookie, Shayla. Shush. Like, come on. Like, you're the best of the best. And she just kept continually saying that. I'm just learning. I'm just a rookie. I'm just learning. And I thought, what an attitude. Like, what a humility, a humble stance to say, you know what? I'm just learning. I'm just learning. I'm just checking this out. And I was like, this is the kind of person I want to be. I want to forever be a learner. Yeah. I want to forever be a rookie because once you hit expert status, you don't think you have anything else to learn.
Yeah. It's like a beginner's mindset. And it's like, I always tell my students, like I have 30 students in my class right now. And I'm like, I'm just a facilitator. Don't, and I give them practice. I'm like, make this work for you. Like, you know, and call me if you need my help of how it can work for you. But this is not about, I have all these secrets of, you know, this is truly just an offering and make it work for you. I'm just a facilitator.
I love it. I feel like there's weight and worth behind a leader who leads among the community, not above the community.
Right. Side by side.
Well, this was the most fun ever. I know, like, can we be friends?
We're friends.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me. This was so much fun today.
Well, thank you. I love being with you.
I hope that today's conversation met you right where you're at, and I hope that you've enjoyed it. I hope that if any of the courses Elaine mentioned strike a bell with you, that you'll go check them out. She's an incredible coach and teacher, so let's dream some big dreams together for 2021. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.